Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
To the west of the great continent of Kern lies the island provinces of Perth, home to brave seafarers, exotic pleasures, storms of swirling magical energy, and cults dedicated to the old gods. Upon these white sands came the Eve's Watch, a band of sellswords and brutes seeking their fortune upon the shores of these lands. Let me tell you of this age of legends, for I and I alone am keeper of their saga. This is their chronicle.
Beneath you is a sprawling ancient bay city.
I wait for everybody to catch up, and I'm like, we're here.
Do we see the keep?
You do not.
We're not there yet. Probably we're there yet.
What's the extent of overgrowth, and what's the extent of the construction still being standing?
The structures of the buildings look like they're very sturdy. The jungle has begun to overtake the city. There's thick vines crawling across the roadways. Some trees have popped up. There's even a few that have grown through the roofs of the lower buildings. But there are still many that appear to be structurally sound. From where you're standing and looking at the rooftops, you can see that they're almost entirely made of stone. There's some activity down there from animals milling about in the street, going here, going there. Monkeys running across the tops of the roofs. No birds can be seen.
Our knowledge of Fae is kind of limited to gutter Fae, which are tiny.
Yes.
And Kopi, that are non-magical Fae, which are small. What is the size of these buildings from the distance that we're at?
They're quite large. Judging from the size of the building, size of the doorways that in the buildings, the doors that still remain, and the window height, the Fae people that lived here ages ago were probably well over 6 feet tall, maybe even 7.
Well, we can just stand here and stare at a dead city. We're actually going to get some cover. I'm going to walk past everybody and head down into the city.
Yeah, we need to get out of the storm.
Watching your steps very carefully, you take this winding trail down. The trail is slick. There's several points where you lose your footing and slide before you're able to catch a branch or a tree trunk.
I make sure I'm not directly ahead of Geo.
Or even another party member.
Yeah, hey, yeah. But yeah, space ourselves out just in case.
As we're coming down this winding path, Shin is looking at the outline of the city, how it's laid out. Is it close enough to the way we do it today that I could tell temple district, ruling district?
Could probably pick it out somewhat easily. This is a terraced city that seems to climb its way up the mountain, so there's different levels of it.
Let's find some shelter, guys.
If it's shaped like a terrace, we should head up because the water's only going to come down.
Is it still sheets of rain?
Yes. Ever growing more intense.
As soon as I hit the sea, I'm going to start looking for stairs going up.
There's stairs and rampways all throughout the city. You can actually pick them out quite easily from the height you're at now. There is a very broad set of stairs leading up closest to where you would actually enter the city.
That's my target then. I keep my shield in one hand and my spear in the other at the ready. A lot of creatures move around here, and just because we've seen the small little monkeys and other stuff doesn't mean something larger than nest here as well.
You enter the city through this broad archway that's 40 or 50 feet tall at least, and enter into a broad street, buildings lining each side, and before long, there's the stairway that you had picked out. As you begin your ascent through the city, the storm grows ever more intense. Streaks of crimson lightning are seen in the sky all over. The sky at one point in time becomes almost entirely filled with these crackling bolts of magical energy.
Well, Mac, we need to get out of here now.
First possible shelter.
I will go up a terrace or two just so we're not caught in a flash flood, and as soon as I see a building that looks like it'll accommodate us, I'm going in the door or doorway.
You find a building with thick wooden doors that still look be on their hinges. The door is ajar, granting you enough space that you could squeeze through. It'll be an easy squeeze for just about everybody except for Geo. We'll have to actually move the door.
We'll move the door so I can make my way in.
I'll step through, close my eyes for a few seconds,
and then open them again to activate my blind sight and my dark vision and scan the room before I get too far into the door.
Tuco remains outside.
This is a single-story building that is broad and almost perfectly square. It's almost entirely empty except for one dais at the back of the building. There's stone chairs by this dais, four in number, and the rest of the building is empty. On the walls are various reliefs depicting scenes from nature, an anthropomorphic frog-like creature holding a crooked wooden staff dressed in robes, elk, parrots, monkeys, all manner of jungle creatures, crocodiles, images of people going about their daily business, some heroes of legend, you suspect, but beyond that, a pretty benign structure.
After I sweep the room, I'll poke my head out the door. It looks like we're good.
Tuco will remain in the doorway at maximum stealth.
Ku will go in. Are there windows in here?
There are. The windows are shuttered closed and look like they have been for a very, very long time.
For a source of light, I could tie some string to my dagger and hang it if there's a spot to hang it to give us light in the room. We would need to make sure that the windows were covered, the doorways covered.
I think we'll sit in the dark for now, as long as you're okay with that.
Won't be able to see anything.
Well, if it comes to some sort of engagement or interaction, we can produce light quickly.
And there's those of us can see perfectly fine.
It is very cool in this building. The dampness of your garments sends a chill through your bodies, except for Jill, who finds it quite refreshing. Still a little bit warm.
Ku's going to, once he notes the coolness, he's going to tell everybody to get out of their wet garments and hang them up, wring them out, hang them up to dry. Even in these conditions, we can get hypothermia.
We'll follow Ku's direction.
I'll strip down and start wringing out my clothes before I hang them.
Tuco will remain dressed and on guard at the door.
And there's any stairs going up? This is a one-level building, you said, yes?
It is a one-level building. There is a small wall in the back by the dais that looks like it's bumped out from the outer walls of the building.
Okay, I'm going to expect that. See if I find a passageway, if there's a stairway behind it, if it's just a small little divider for someone to put on vestments or something like that. I'm going to expect that area.
You walk around and find there's an archway. Archways appear to be a common architectural theme in this city. This one has an archway as well, and there's a set of stone stairs that lead up.
Okay, I'll poke my head in the room. There's a set of stairs here that are leading up. I'm going to investigate.
Take somebody with you.
A couple of us are with you. Okay. I can always message back to the group if we need to.
Lovac, you and Shin make your way up the stairs. These are wide, wide stairs made to facilitate feet far larger than yours. You have to step really, really high to get from one stair to the other. You make your way to the top, and there's a door in the ceiling.
Well, that's interesting. I'll try the door.
The door is unlocked. You open the door. It's a hatchway that leads out onto the roof. The roof, much like the Mashaporian roofs, is flat with a decorative border around the top, almost like battlements. Not quite. The roof, collecting water. There's nothing of any consequence on it. It's almost entirely bare except for leaf debris and branches.
From here, I'm going to go over to the edge and just walk the edge and survey the city. If I can catch movement or anything like that. Just a quick survey of the area.
As you walk the roof perimeter, you can very clearly see that which is below you on the terrace that you're presently on and the one below you. Above you are two more terraces and what looks like a large fortress. You can make out some of the buildings up there. You can't really see well onto the streets above you, but below you there's the occasional animal that walks by of all varieties. An elk-like creature, small, hairy things.
I'll take that as a positive sign, because if we were being followed, they would be skittish. In fact, we've gone by and they've settled back into their routines.
It looks like they too are seeking shelter.
So time to head back down.
I'm going to scan the pathway going up to the top from what I can see. Is there a change in building height as we get higher?
No.
So
no.
Most of the city is like one stories.
Some are one story, some are two, some are even taller.
And the big thing at the top looks to be how many?
A fortress, several stories high. Walled fires and battlements.
If everybody is going to be hunkering down from the rain, I'd like to try to make it up to the top.
Let's get some rest first and let everyone know what we've seen, and we'll go from there. head back down, close the door. Is there a way to secure the door from the inside? The doorway to the roof?
There's a sliding bolt.
All right, I'll try to slide the bolt. Does it move?
With a little bit of force and some wiggle, you were able to muscle it into the stone housing.
When Shin comes back down, because we're familiar with each other enough to know what we can do magically and non-magically, Ku will turn to Shin and ask him if he could cast the cantrip that he knows to maybe warm up our clothes so it'll dry up a little faster. That'd be prestidigitation.
Yeah, there was something in here. Instantly clean or soil an object no longer than 1 cubic foot. Chill, warm, or flavor up to 1 cubic foot of non-living material. So yeah, I could warm them up.
Also, wouldn't cleaning include drying?
That's what I was thinking. Either way, it's going to take me forever, especially on Geo's clothing, because cubic foot, that's a lot of cubic feet.
Well, it's a lot of square feet, but it's not that many cubic feet if you fold it up and put it in a pile.
Correct. Yep. And we have time. We're not doing anything else right now, so.
Tuco, if you take watch on the door now.
Got it.
Let me take my armor off, see if I can dry out a little bit, change out, and I'll take watch later at the door.
The arrow I have not has a calabra on the tip to hopefully inflict paralysis on a first hit.
First thing I will do is dry out anything people are still wearing as underclothing and undergarments.
Oh, I took off everything.
Those small little items will be done first so that people can get something on just in case.
Now, warming, I don't think necessarily translates to drying. It just means your clothes won't be cold and wet, but they may be warm and wet.
I feel like I pissed myself.
But cleaning would include drying, would it not?
I don't know that it operates like washing and drying clothes, but merely cleaning a stain off the clothes.
My idea with the warming of the clothes and drying them is the heat that would then go into it would hasten the evaporation or the losing of the wetness.
First, I'm not worried about it. If I'm wearing silks underneath, they dry incredibly quick anyways. So I'm just going to strip down to my loincloth, bring out my silks, prop my spear up and hang them off of that.
Everything I wear is silk.
I'm like the only person not wearing silk.
No, Tuco has no silk on. He thinks it's weak.
It's really just Shin and I wearing silk and pull back.
So I fold up all my clothes and drop them in front of Shin.
Slowly warm them. Worst comes to worst, the room should get a little bit warmer from the steam that might like slowly be leaking off these clothes.
That'll make Geo happy. More humidity.
I'll go stand by the door while this
finally waiting. Gets some reprieve.
He lays belly down on the cold stone.
The same effect could be done to cool. So once it's done drying, you'd be like, hey, can you make this cool?
I could, and I will.
Well, Shin busies himself with his task at hand. The rest of you who are not watching ingress or egress are able to sit and just relax from your morning's labors.
I'm trying to remember that song by those bards. I can't remember exactly how it goes. It was about a lion sleeping in the mighty jungle. Anybody?
Sounds familiar. I don't spend as much time in taverns as you may.
Wasn't that written in like the Frogmite language? I remember Awimowa.
You know what? I think you're right.
I think Awimowa was the language.
That reference I
Awimowa?
Got.
Is this where you'll be making your camp?
Yes.
At the moment.
Yeah, seems likely. Yes.
Ku will stay by one of the windows and kind of like keep a look outside through like one of the cracks.
I'll prop myself down by another window so I can hear what's going on outside.
The sill of the window is large enough that you can relax with your back on the wall, one leg dangling while looking out of a crack and watching down the street. The storm is fierce. From where you're sitting, Lovac, you can hear clearly that it's picked up in intensity. And there's a wind whipping about, and everything is a pulsing crimson color.
I'm going to break out one of my sharpening stones, break out the rusty katana, and continue my refurbishing.
Will you be making a fire this evening, lighting torches?
I don't think we should. It will draw attention to the fact that this place is occupied.
Exactly.
We don't know what else takes residence here.
So stealth camping.
I'm going to reach in my pack, pull out the oiled sack that I have in there, and pull out the linens that normally rest underneath my chainmail, and put those on while I'm waiting for myself to dry.
Ku's going to go up to where the hatch in the roof is, and he's going to set a bell trap on that, so that if anything opens that up, we're going to hear something.
Okay.
You might notice the lock. There's a bolt slid off to one side into the stone.
That's fine. Going to leave it there.
I will enter sort of a meditative trance as we rest, like doing kind of what I did in the jungle, kind of just extending my senses. I mean, there's a large volume of magical energy chaotically slamming around this place, but just to feel into it, if I feel anything in particular, or any signs or visions or anything. Just opening myself to further knowledge and experience.
Shin, what are you doing?
Warming up clothes, waiting to see if people sleep or if people are just, like, relaxing and resting.
Deal.
Wait for his clothes to dry so he can get dressed.
Who, you're in your windowsill after setting your bell trap. Lovac, we know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Tuco?
Tuco is incredibly uncomfortable with the amount of magic around here. He doesn't possess magic of his own, and he's always been a little suspicious of it. And so his comfort level is pretty low, so he's hyper alert. He's got his bow, he's got his arrow, he's sticks his head out once in a while to see if there's anything to the right. He's got a decent view to the left, right, but in a build, whatever building's right across the street. He's nervous. He's a bit puckered.
He hasn't been able to kill anybody in a few days.
Yeah, is that...
Withdrawals.
The bugs were nice. That was a good kill yesterday. Nervously on watch and still very wet.
And what's your watch going to look like? Who's taking... Well, you're taking first watch, Tuco. How are your watches going to run?
I feel like similar to last night should be fine. We'll back out last watch.
Mm-hmm.
Tuco, you're first. You want to wake Jill?
Tuco will wake Jill.
Yeah, then Ku and then myself.
So, like, I'll be able to get about 4 hours of sleep. Provided I don't have any nightmares, I might just stay up after my watch.
For your reference, if he starts tossing and turning and looks like he's having a nightmare, wake him up. He'll go back to sleep.
Oh, he tried.
I did try.
Did you?
Yep. I spoke his name. I shook him roughly. Nothing.
Did everything but slap him across the face.
That'll be next.
Ku, you've been warned.
Your watch, Tuco, goes by at a snail's pace. There is no activity out on the streets. The storm rages even more as you stand looking out sliver of space between the doors watching the city streets. And you find yourself slowly doing the head bob.
If Tuco notices his own fatigue, he will get up and move.
You do that for the last half an hour of your watch, or you rouse the next watch. Soon, fall into a deep slumber.
As I rouse Gio, I ask him, do you want the door open or the door closed?
Keep it open so I can look out.
Good. Have a great night.
I will.
And I strip down to nothing, roll up my wet bed mat. It's a little wet, you know, it's not soaked, but it's wet. Hang my wet leathers and hope they dry some.
Jill, your shift goes by the same.
Don't forget Shin's awake as well.
That's right. Shin is drying clothing.
Yeah, at least for the first watch.
Standing at the door, looking out into the streets, you see no signs of life. Counting the minutes, thinking about a large roasted pig on the platter. Potato, like potato.
Of potatoes.
Some carrots or parsnips too with a beer. Been such a long time. Since you've had a beer or one.
I need a beer and some wine.
Or ale.
And some ale.
And then Ku starts tossing and turning and mumbling.
I'll go over to where he's at, make sure he's okay. Can I make out what he's mumbling?
It's hard to tell what he's saying. It sounds like he's having a conversation.
Since I know this is what's going to lead up to this, I'm going to put my hand on his chest, a little bit of pressure, not too much pressure. And Lovac said to give him a smack. Not hard. So let my weight of my hand fall.
You give him a gentle tap with your massive hand on his tiny face.
You haven't grappled. You have advantage.
And he appears to fall fast asleep, snoring loudly.
I'll keep an eye on for the rest of my watch. I'll stay there and watch the door from where he's at.
He remains nearly motionless. Shin, there's going to be a point in time where you have just warmed or dried as much as you could warm or dry. You're sitting in nearly pitch black. There's a reddish hue in the room, very dim reddish hue, which affords you some light. What are you going to occupy the rest of your evening with?
Well, let's see. I'm going to keep an eye on Ku for the rest of this watch and then make my determination based on who's next on the watch rotation.
Who is next? Ku. Who's going to wake Ku?
I'm already there. So with my hand, just rock him back and forth.
You rock him back and forth. He opens one eye, blinks.
Your watch.
Slowly opens the other. You see Jill's massive face staring down on you. It feels like you were hit with a Mack truck for some reason. You have a terrible headache. Neck is sore.
Must be the way I'm sleeping.
It's got a stone floor and all that.
Yeah, it's got to be the stone floor. I'll open up the herbalism and kit, take something for the headache and the pain. Thank Jill. And I'm going to shut the door, lock it. I'm going to prop myself in the window. I'm going to go between the window and the door periodically throughout my shift.
Since I'm going to stay awake for a moment because I want to ask him something, as you're coming back to the window, so what is it like not to remember?
It's sad. You've noticed when we're in cities, my own people, they don't interact with me. They run away. We never see any Kopi when we go into a city. Like, they're actively avoiding me. I've tried to go into the ghettos, ghost towns.
I don't know what to say about that. For a moment there, I was hoping that, well, maybe there was a moment in time I wish I could forget, but now I don't even think I want to do that.
From a little distance away, you hear, it would be a blessing.
To forget?
To forget.
I think about this one. I don't know. There's some things I want to forget.
Me and Tuco could probably whip something up for you to make you forget. But it would only be for a short term.
I'll think about that one. Then I'm just going to sit there and just ponder some things before I doze off.
Ku, do you remember your nightmares?
Just hands grasping at me.
Hands?
Hands.
Okay, that's better than mine.
Grasping at me, calling to me, saying things to me, running, panic, fear, anger. That's it.
Kind of the opposite of mine. I don't know. I'm either going insane or they're projecting. But all of mine are sorrow, anguish, shame.
If I could remember mine, they might be the same.
Unfortunately, I remember every face.
You want to be able to forget, and I want to be able to remember.
Opposites attract.
As I'm dozing off, I'll be, at least you guys ain't scared of yourselves.
I am scared of myself.
And so ain't I. Then I'll just turn over and go to sleep.
Are you planning on staying right in that windowsill for the rest of the shift?
I'm going to be going between the windowsill and the door periodically.
I'd like to check out the buildings surrounding us.
Don't wait till morning.
Morning, we're going to need to get out of here. Right now, I have a lot of downtime.
Unfortunately, if you go out and something happens, we'll need to be able to hear it and people will need to get up. People still don't have their clothes on. Lovac doesn't have his armor on.
Okay. We haven't seen any sign of humanoids yet.
We don't know what's out there. We've seen animals, but we don't know what's out there.
And the storm still rages.
Keep it down. People trying to sleep.
As you both kind of bow your heads for a moment to reflect on your conversations, you begin to hear Geel softly snoring. You start looking through the crack of the shutters, that wide crack that you've been watching the street from. As you're watching the streets and the swirling crimson magic, a face suddenly appears in that crack, really, really close up, startling you.
And I jump the hell out of that window.
It is a large, ape-like face, and the minute you jump, it disappears.
Welcome to Dungeon Radio Hour, an improv comedy podcast set within the world of Dungeons & Dragons, where a group of friends from our world fell into a magical realm and must rescue their friend before finding a way back home. Join our players, Alyssa.
Like, have you been seeing anyone who's, like, new to town?
Andrew.
911, what's your emergency?
Hi, 911. Listen, I can't talk loud. I'm currently inside of a horse.
And Mike, as they adjust to their magical surroundings.
Jeff, don't even go here. This game is rigged. There's piss sometimes. All right.
And a few friends.
What do we say about killing?
Don't do that.
This show is full of ridiculousness.
You know, he was a guy who's just doing his job, but he had a neck and it needed to be strangled.
I roll like a hot dog at a 7-Eleven.
I missed you guys so much. What have you been up to?
We like fought Santa and shit.
All this and more is waiting for wherever you get your podcast. So keep the volume up, the dial tuned in. It's time for Dungeon Radio Hour.
Well, obviously, Shin would take notice.
Shin comes to a stop and waits to see what you're doing after that jump.
Yeah, he springs, not just like a casual hop out of the window, but springs out of it, clearly startled.
Did I land on anybody?
No, but there was a gasp and of shock.
There was a face out there. Somebody's out there, but it's ape-like. Ku is going to make his way to the door and take a defensive stance by the door.
Well, we've been hearing monkeys, not so far off to assume an ape in this wonderful cliffs-like structure of caves.
I mean, possibly, but I'm not taking any chances.
The door is closed and not necessarily bolted, but there's things propped up against it to kind of secure it. Your heart is still in your throat, being quite startled by the sudden appearance of that face. Not a whole face, but one eye and several layers of wrinkled skin. To you, it appeared ape-like.
Ku will wait out the remainder of his shift by the door in a defensive stance. If something happens, Shin, wake them.
Okay. Are you going to stay right there?
I am staying right here.
Because that way I know exactly where you are and where to point, because I want to go up on the roof and take a quick look around.
There's a trap on the hatch.
Yes, I know. I was there already.
The rest of the shift goes uneventful, and you wake the next. The Moulet. Storm begins to subside.
I'm going to wake Moulet, and I'm going to let him know about the ape in the window, and I will be up the remainder of the night.
We'll hope it was just a wild beast seeking shelter, but I will remain vigilant.
When I hear the noise, I'll come out down the stairs and around the half wall. I'm going to keep my butt up here where I can hear anything on the roof.
If he opened that door, it would have rung the bell.
Yes. It would have been a ringing of the bell even if he was disarming the trap and then having to slide that bolt that Lovac had to muscle into place would be quite loud.
Shane, what are you doing?
Also, apes listening. Climb.
Yes, listening. We have monkeys that we were can't was described as an ape. That means they can get on the roof.
Can't you listen to the door shut and bolted?
Is shut.
He didn't say he was going to open. He said he was going to go up to the hatchway.
Sorry, I misunderstood. I thought he was open.
As did I. I thought you were going through that.
I did too.
Once the storm lessens enough, you bet your butt I'm going through that door, though.
With Moulet up, Ku's going to get dressed. And depending upon if Moulet's by the door or by the window, Ku will be the opposite.
Yeah, I can stay by the door for now.
By morning and Lovac's shift, the storm has subsided. There were no more sightings of this ape-like thing. No indication that it was hostile. No indication that there was more of them. But the sounds have returned, those normal jungle sounds you've gotten used to, birds, animals, the sun is now shining.
I will wake a little back for a shift at time. Our storm has mostly passed, it seems.
Anything I need to know about?
Ku saw an ape-like face at the window during his watch, but there's been no occurrence or recurrence of that since then, so
already.
I will settle back down for my last couple hours of rest.
I will take my linens off, pack them back into the little bag, tie it off nice and tight, put in my sack, and then put on my hopefully now dry silks, and take the 10 minutes or so to put my armor on, and then go take a position standing over by the door.
Ku can help you with your armor.
When you're standing by the door, is the door still closed and kind of barricaded, or is the door slightly ajar like it was when Tuco began his watch?
I left it barricaded.
As did Ku had closed it and left it barricaded.
I think I'll just leave it barricaded for the moment. When I see the light of day start coming, because this is pre-dawn when he wakes me up, so when I see the light of day, then it gets close to time when they need to start waking up, I'll try to quietly open it and just inspect the streets.
You open the door a crack. Take a peek at the streets from inside. The streets appear empty, with the exception of small skittering things running across the vines that cover the streets or up buildings. There's birds flying about. What catches your eye almost immediately is a dark shape perched on a building that almost immediately launches itself into the air. You can hear the rush of flapping wings as it ascends into the sky.
How far away?
It was across the street on the top of a building that was 3 stories tall, approximately 35 feet up.
So we're being tracked. I'm going to cast a spell. Cast Guiding Bolt. All right, because it's got 120-foot range. I can hit. Shall we? Oh, that's not going to be very good. That's only 10 to hit, so that's not going to hit.
Your bolt fires off at first a radiant streak of energy, and then what looks like it drawing shadows from the very air itself. The shadows swirl about the bolt, and it streaks across the broad side of the creature. The creature is missed, but it looks back at you, locks eyes with you, and you see that it's a humanoid face, black eyes under thick brow ridges. It's almost emaciated looking. You can see its ribs and its pelvic bones. It's got long, slender legs with claws at the end of its ape-like feet and long, grasping fingers with black claws at the end of those. It's almost entirely hairless. The wings are broad and leathery and slick and black, with small holes here and there, perhaps old battle wounds from ages ago.
Is its face somewhat ape-like as well?
It is not. It's very human-looking, but also at the same time, not human-looking.
As soon as he casts that spell, Ku, sitting in the windowsill, his head jerks towards the door, eyes wide, waiting, hands on daggers.
Once it flies out of sight, I will step back into the building.
Ku gives you a questioning look.
Seems our flying friend was perched across the street staring at the building, waiting for us this morning.
I wonder if it was him who was looking into the window.
Its face didn't look ape-like. It looked more gaunt and human.
I only caught it for a glimpse.
That's possible.
And then launched myself out of the window.
But it was gaunt, emaciated. The leather bat like wings had like battle scars in them. It definitely looks sickly, but then again, it definitely looks unearthly as well. But it was out there perched on the building right across the street. Tried to strike it with a magical bolt, but
that's what got my attention.
It banked and missed, and I missed it. But it definitely knows we're here, and we know it's here. So it's something we're probably going to have to contend with on a regular basis. I have no doubt that it's reporting our progress.
Tuco is sound asleep.
I'm going to head back outside. The storm seems to be clearing.
I'm going to wake everybody.
I'm going to find myself a perch and see if it circles back around. I'm going to go outside and find myself a little cubby somewheres. Maybe across the street or on alongside of a statue or anything. Some little corner where I can watch our building, but keep an eye on some of the skies, particularly in the direction it flew away.
You find yourself a nice alcove where a statue used to be. The statue's now laying partially in the road, arms and legs broken off. There's a lot of jungle growth around the alcove, so you feel like you can take cover there relatively unnoticed, but certainly a good spot to watch the sky.
Stand there with my spear in hand and strike a statuesque pose.
Ku's going to go around and wake the sleeping members.
You'll wake up and get dressed.
And Ku's going to let them know that our flying friend is not far.
I mutter a oath in Orcish if Tuco is awake. Or anybody else that understands Orcish.
Tuco is awake.
It is a particularly vile oath.
Tuco is already side-eyeing Moulet in general, and now he slows a little as he applies a light oil to his body because his leathers are still a little moist and they need to go on.
Shin?
As I hear people stirring, moving around downstairs, I'm going to dismantle the alarm.
Ding-a-ling-ding. I'll go and get my alarm.
Take a little oil, put it on the spike and see if I can start wiggling it to get the oil in and slowly move it out more and more.
After a while, you're able to get the bolt out of its housing and swing open the trapdoor.
And I'll take a quick little look out through the squish in the three directions that I can see.
It's a flat rooftop, nothing on it other than leaf debris, branches.
The door will slowly go up higher and higher as I start scanning the sky. Rooftops of other buildings around us until I get it all the way up and then look behind me where the hinges were.
Nothing concerning. It seems normal. Birds in the sky, birds coming from the inside of buildings, animals moving about. Everything you would expect to see in an abandoned city. But it's still eerie, still very apocalyptic.
Hey, everything looks good. Then I'm going to tap that latch back so that it's partially in the hole, enough so that the door doesn't wiggle, and then head downstairs, see how everybody's doing with their packing up.
By the time you get back downstairs, everybody's got their gear on and packed and ready to go. Everybody but Lovac, you don't see him.
My pack is still lying there. It's all packed up, but it's just lying there.
If everybody's had breakfast, we should probably get a move on. I definitely want to come back here after we rescue the princess.
Agreed. There are things.
But I don't think we can take the time now to do anything.
Tuco has hardtack in hand, ready to roll.
Fruit.
And I think a little bread does sound nice, so a little.
You wouldn't have to. Do you have like an extra thing of armor in your backpack?
No.
Good. Then it's light enough that I can pick it up.
Yeah, you can pick it up.
So I'll throw it over my shoulder and head towards the door and
look out. There's two weapons hanging off of it, and a sword on one side, a rusty sword on the other, and my linens are inside along with a bunch of fruit and stuff. So it probably weighs maybe about 30, 35 pounds.
Yeah, I've got like half my carrying left. So I'll throw that over my non-used shoulder and head to the door and see if I can spot him anywhere.
After a while of scanning, you see him standing like a statue of some long-forgotten hero in an alcove, holding his spear.
Quick little short, high-pitched whistle of attention grabbing.
Ah, the whistle of attention grabbing. I know it well.
A fine magic item indeed.
We're ready to go.
Considering we still do not know what other types of creatures may be in the city, may it not be prudent for Tuco to lead from here on out to get us through the city?
Maybe scout
ahead a little stealthy. I mean, we're rest of us not stealthy.
That's the job best suited.
Well, Ku, you are, but the rest of us are not. Maybe two of you together scouting ahead.
I'm stealthy. You're taller than some of these buildings.
For a Tarrasque.
Not to not being stealthy.
I mean, these are white buildings and you're blue.
There's still contrast.
Before we start the marching order and whatnot, where are we going? Are we going up into the city? Are we trying? Where's the ball of direction? Who's got it?
I'll give it to you.
What direction are we heading?
Is it the keep light east of us?
Northeast
of our possession.
As I align our ball of direction, does that take us up into the city? Does that take us out of the eastern side? Is that up or is that left? What is it?
It would take you up and then across the next terrace on the top. So up a ramp or a set of stairs, and then across the promenade of that terrace.
So what do you think, Koo? They should stay back at least 30 feet, right?
Follow the direction.
Maybe further?
Well, let's see. Gilles and Lovac would probably draw the most attention. Gilles because of his size, Lovac because of the noise of his armor. I mean, how far would that noise carry?
30 feet, 60 feet. We don't want to be so far ahead that we can't get to support.
Correct. We don't want you so far ahead that if something happens.
Probably like 120 feet.
Right. And that feels like too far.
No, maybe, I'm okay with that.
Maybe say 60.
I kind of just want to say screw it and let's just go as a group.
Okay. Maybe just still have the two of you ahead to scout.
Sure.
I'm happy to scout.
Or you had to scout and Tuco to watch behind like you have been.
I'm happy with either position.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, Tuco off to the side, sneaking, actively sneaking because of his abilities.
Yeah, and you can help cover our ass.
And if anything's going to come after anybody, it's going to be me.
Right, so we'll make sure someone's close.
And so I'll be about 45 feet behind the party in case anything closes on your backside. It'll probably do it before I get there even.
No, you should be running a parallel.
It's a street.
There are alleyways.
Alleyways and things like
I
that.
I feel like on a terraced city, is that still a thing? We're going up one level, over one level.
There's still houses alongside, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I can do that.
Well, broken off statues to hide behind.
If you all stay at the outer edge until you're ready to go up, I can be on the uphill side street. And that way, at least then nothing can come from your left, and I'll be on your right.
And if anything happens on your side, just give a holler and we'll come.
Just use the whistle of attention, getting.
The whistle, yes.
Now they've finally made up their mind, I'll drop off out of my alcove.
Would you like me to start rolling stealth at this point?
Grab my pack from
almost.
Chin.
Hold on.
Up is good, too, because I'm hoping it'll give us a vantage point on the lay of the land ahead.
So the plan is for Tuco to head up the stairs ahead of you and then out onto the streets to dip in between buildings and actively being stealthy to kind of scout ahead while the rest of you follow closely behind.
Koo will be in front, kind of going parallel with Tuco, but with Koo going down the street and Tuco in the alleyways and the rest following.
And I'm looking for a 2 or 3 story building on our path.
Tuco, as you and Koo enter the street, Koo making your way across to the buildings on the opposite side, you notice several hunched figures holding spears. One of them reaches in its tunic and holds a bit of white cloth. It says,
"Parley, we wish to parley with your leader."
Koo will stop and signal to the group, specifically Mule.
All right, I will move up towards where Koo is standing.
There are several reptilian, snake-like creatures on the street, armored, uniformed, carrying spears and curved long swords.
What do they wear, a specific crest?
It's a octopoid-like creature, something you're very familiar with by now. There's 20 of them in total, a quick tally. Not sure if there's any anywhere else.
Do you accept parley, the terms of peaceful interaction?
Yes. Why are you here?
The group of 20 steps to the side, half step to the right, half step to the left, and a large, muscular figure cloaked in black with a hood obscuring its face comes walking down in between both lines of reptilians. Its head is bowed low so that its chin is resting in its chest. It's got a barrel chest. Two thick hands reach up, pull back the black hood, revealing an almost skeletal face. Not a skeleton. This is a living creature with flesh, but the face looks skeletal. No ears, deep-set eyes, the absence of a nose. Two ram's horns on either side of its head. It grins a jagged-toothed grin. And that's where we'll leave it this week.
Join us every other week as the Eve's Watch continue their adventures in Perth. Thank you to our patrons. Find us on Patreon to join the executive producers team and support the podcast. Our cast, Bill Robitaille, Louis Aponte, Frank Whedon, Jared Parker, Marcus Holt, Sin Morse, our DM, Scott, and me, Nova. Thank you, our listeners, for joining us every other week.